Well, we want to welcome back any students that are back to school and certainly any incoming freshmen that are away from home and entering college for the first time. I saw Hannah Wubenhorst, rah-rah for you. And but anyway, it's great. It's always fun to begin a new school year. And, you know, it always speaks of newness, new adventure, certainly change, and that's certainly a good thing, and that's normal. But I'm just curious, how many here by nature like change? Just curious. How many here by nature prefer not to have to deal with change? That's what I thought. That's pretty much the human condition. I mean, we certainly like good things and new things and opportunities, but just change, there's just the concern of, well, what's on the other side of that change? And so, in reality, though, in life, we're all preparing for it all the time, whether we realize it or not. I mean, it's funny, kind of the stations of life, people say, well, what is it like now that your daughters are out at school and, you know, the house is empty? I'm like, well, it's good. That's what we would want. That's the next season for them. We don't want them in the basement, as it were. I mean, we celebrate each season when it comes. And so life is full of transition. It's full of change, whether we like it or not. And there is a way to transition with ease as we look to the Lord. But, you know, you think about just right over here, whether it be NC State or over at Peace or Meredith or St. Aug or Shaw and all the surrounding university settings, they have been spending 13 years basically preparing for this week and for this day, beginning in kindergarten. It's been preparing them. Matter of fact, their very first 5 or 6 years of life were preparing them for kindergarten. I get tickled at the kindergarten commencement, you know, the graduation, and they get that, you know, piece of paper. It's so precious to see. But the first 5 years of their lives was preparing them to go off to kindergarten, and that's a big deal, going off to first grade. It's a big deal, and everything is predicated upon another, the current thing normally upon the last thing that was going on in our lives. But I'll never forget beginning first grade. Do you remember your first day of first grade? I'm just curious. Anyone here, do you remember your... I remember my first day of first grade because all the first graders were gathered in a big holding tank, the school auditorium, with their mothers sitting there. I mean, this was the big one. I mean, this is like going to the moon and back. And the first grade teachers would come in and they would line up, and then they would, one by one, a first grade teacher would introduce her name and say, I am Mrs. or Mr. So-and-so. And then they would proceed to read off a list of those children that were going to be in their class. And then they proceeded to hold up their hand and walk, and they were to leave and cleave. They were to leave and follow the first grade teacher out of the auditorium into the classroom. And I tell you, I'll never forget the sight. It was like a tug of war. You'd see these little kids going, and then they'd change their mind and go back over here to mom. And then there were breakdown moments of crying. And this is, okay, honey, it's okay. After a while, a couple of those parents, well, you better get in there, you know, for you embarrass me too bad. But it was like a little tug of war, and it was just a sight to watch. And so some departed very easily, others took a little bit longer, but it was a back and forth, just tug of war. But it was necessary in life, of course, at that time to do it, although it was a little bit painful, but those first graders, they survived. They did okay. And so it reminded me a couple of years ago, I don't know if you saw this video that went viral of this little boy's very first day of first grade. Maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't. And then I kind of felt bad for the news reporter because she got a little bit in hot water merely for asking a question. But play this if you would, Christine.
Andrew, are you excited for pre-kindergarten?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know.
Are you going to miss your mom?
No.
No? Oh, don't cry. Are you...
she got in a little bit of hot water. Anyway, she went back. The mom was actually right behind her. But if we'll be honest, in the name of change, a lot of us are just like that. Are you ready to go to work? Uh-huh. Yeah. Are you ready to move to a new city? Yeah. Are you ready for a new roommate? Are you ready to stomp out in this new start in this new opportunity, this new position? Yeah, it's great. It's great. Or whatever threshold we're stepping through. And life is just full of transition. It's full of change. And so even though our hearts go out to that little boy, he is just fine. He's in the third grade this year. You know, thank God he didn't get back on the bus, as it were. But I think we can all identify. We all have just a little bit of that in all of us when one season transitions to another. Again, whether it's a new job, whether it's a new city, a new position, a new living situation, we're not always quite sure what it's going to look like, and we have to step through that threshold of change. Can you say change? It is part of our life's existence. Can't remove it. When the prophet Daniel was praying about the interpretation of the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, he concluded with this prayer of praise in Daniel 2. He said, "Praise be the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons." Who does? God does. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. Father, in the transitions of life, instruct us, hold us, bolster, strengthen, and encourage us with not merely toleration of the transition, but great faith and confidence with security. We ask God in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. He knows what lies in darkness. In other words, darkness meaning the unknown things. In other words, what is yet to come. How many of you know the unknown things are no obstacle to God? We may be unknowing, but God is all-knowing. Therefore, if He is all-knowing, we can be confident with our unknowing, because He's unknowing, because He's all-knowing. I'm unknowing, He's all-knowing, and that's okay. That's a good recipe. That's a good little setup to do life. Therefore, we look and lean to Him. We step through thresholds all the time, not exactly sure what's on the other side. I mean, dear me, when those that are in here got married, you didn't know what marriage would look like. Why? You ain't ever done it before. You know, and those who had children, it's like, I don't know. That's an awesome thing to bring a child into the world. I mean, that's a threshold. I mean, you think about it long enough, you might not want to do it. And there's no, like, this is the handbook on how to do it. I love Steve Merle's book, My First, Second, Third Attempt of, you know, child raising and parenting. He had three sons, and they're amazing sons. But it's, and here's the thing, whether it's witnessing or preaching or like Amy stepping out to pray for something or someone, if we wait until we've done something to do it, we'll never do it. Are we here? Such is the course of life. We just step through those thresholds of uncertainty, but it's not uncertain to God. It is no obstacle to Him. And so in Daniel, it says He is light and He changes times and seasons. He knows all hidden things, even the secret things. And those who walk closely with the Lord, He'll whisper in your hearing. The Bible says the secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. You fear the Lord, He'll cue you in. He'll kind of be like, psst. I know everybody's out there partying, they're just buzzing away, but hey, you're the one that trembles at my word. You're humble and contrite. Come here. Psst, psst. He'll cue us in so that we can be on the tip of the spear versus just kind of like clueless, like Charlie Brown, what's going, you know, we can actually be somewhat prophetic and know ahead of the game what's going on. Daniel was praising God for these attributes and distinctives. It was actually a good thing. Eugene Peterson of the Message translation said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. He knows all, does all. He changes the seasons and guides history." I like that. There's strength in that as we reconsider once again the sovereignty of God. We don't have a dual view of His sovereignty. I like that. He changes the season and guides history. But still, like this little boy, humanly speaking, can we be truthful in church here this morning? Just checking. Can we tell the truth in the house of God? Is that all right? All right. We don't want any Ananias and Sapphira theology here today. But anyway, but humanly speaking, it can be still very disconcerting, can't it? Anything that's new position, new job, new city, new school, new roommate, you fill in the blank. Yet, no change comes to pass by chance. Change and chance are not synonymous with the Lord. Change does abound. It feels and appears more swiftly and more frequently than we can keep up with. I mean, just think of technology alone. I mean, dear Lord, by the time you get a new iPhone, you blink and it's obsolete. So you still got that old thing? You got that old thing from a year ago? And then, you know, the buzz is update, update, update. You ought to see some of the dinosaurs I've owned. You know, I try to keep something until it absolutely won't work anymore. I mean, you should have seen me at my daughter's high school dances and prom. I'd be out there with my Sure Shot cannon. All right, stand right there. Ching, ching. They're like, oh, Dad. Oh. I had one of those. Oh, ching, ching. That was the battery rolling the film. They were, you know, and not crossing through to the threshold of the digital world. And but it's like, I'm gonna milk that thing for all it's worth. But in technology, I mean, upgrade. Information, we're in the information age. There is more information. And here's the thing now. If you're an information junkie, your head's going to blow up because you'll never be able to keep up with it all. Everything is vying for our attention. We can get headlines, but there's always another report, a new report. New information is flying at us 100 miles an hour. And in just one day, it's old. Old news. Oh, that's old. Old news. I mean, think over the last 5 years, 10 years, 15 years plus, the recent changes with Apple, with Google, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, internet, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, in 2009, there was no iPad. How many of y'all love your iPad? Anyone holding one in your lap? In 2005, there was no Twitter. In 2003, there was no Facebook. In 2009, there was no Instagram. In 2006, there was no iPhone. How in the world how do we live? I mean, these were just a few years ago. I mean, they're just a couple of years ago. I mean, people, you know, our girls would ask us when they were young, when you grew up, did y'all have water? Well, we did because the dinosaurs would bring it, you know, in their mouth and then just create little pools, you know, and they would provide, you know, for the caveman and his wife, you know, or Tarzan, me Tarzan, she Jane, you know, over here. So, but change comes. It's swift, it's fast, it's constant. Change in jobs, change in positions, change in roommates, change in leadership, changes in politics, changes in the climate, some say. I remember when we used to get something left at our door called a phone book. Y'all ever remember those big old clunky things? It's called a phone book. People's names and numbers would actually be in there. I mean, think about it. Life before Wikipedia. I mean, and we think, how in the world? Now, students, you can't use Wikipedia on your report now. I mean, you got to go to original sources. We know that. But it didn't exist until 2001. Even Ferris Bueller, sage that he is, said life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around for a while, you could miss it. Change, change, one season to the next. Jobs, schools, friends. For some, parents change. Family structures change. I remember reading some of John Cotter's materials years ago. He was the organizational change guru, Harvard professor, and author about change. I mean, he is the change guru. He wrote what is referred to as the Change Bible. It's a part of life. But question here today, because things are moving so fast, it's almost like you're either quick or you're dead. The quick and the dead, a whole new definition for that. But question here today, wouldn't it be nice if there were at least one or two things in life that never changed? With all that goes on, wouldn't it be nice if there was just one, maybe just a handful of things that never changed? You could look up and there it is, resolute, steadfast, firm, fixed, immovable. And it doesn't need updating. And we do love babies, Adam. We are for you. We love babies. Bless, 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 bless. How many of y'all love babies? It's funny. Everybody's head turns. It's like, well, it's called a baby, you know. Anyway, love babies. So, but wouldn't it be great just for there to be something fixed and resolute, immovable? God never changes. So the whirlwind is okay as long as I can look up and he's the same. The lack of constancy out here is okay as long as he's immovable. And the whirlwind it is that we wake up to. I mean, it was a simpler era gone by. I mean, I know people who said, I was born in the wrong generation. I was born. There are people who wish they could be in the Victorian age. People romanticize every age. We realize that, right? People say, oh, if I could just be, you know, in the 1700s or the 1800s. I thought, really? I mean, you want leeches, you know, to be bloodlet? Are you sure? You know, do you want to be pre-penicillin? I mean, are you sure? You know, all right. But anyway, it's easy to look back and romanticize a simpler time. There are going to be those that are going to look back on this decade and go, oh, for the 2000s. Oh, what a simple Ozzy and Harriet. I mean, Brady Bunch. I mean, how simple it was. Trust you me, everything is escalating. Everything is rising on every side. Change will only come more swiftly, more quickly. They will refer back to these days thinking that this was the 60s. They will think that. I need to sow a little seed about the 80s, right? Just plant that in the back of your mind. Something about, we'll come back to that at another time. But anyway, wouldn't it be nice if there were things that just wouldn't change? God never changes. In an ever-changing world, whether we like it or not, thank God, God never changes. Unlike what we have just mentioned, he's existed from eternity past. Wrap our minds around that, the uncreated God. He's the Ancient of Days who has existed from eternity past. So when we're wowed by technology or we're wowed by a new discovery, I mean, it's as if God's yawning. Well, of course. There were some students that were polled, do you think that God would understand the bat, the blind bat, and what it does with sending out the signals? No, as if the creator, or no, I think it was like, do you think God understands the bat or radar? I can't remember. But again, God was the creator of it all. God and science, faith and science, are not in conflict. His attributes never change. His word will never change. His love for you and me will never change. Though the whirlwind we live in. Come on. Higher than the mountains that I face. Stronger than the power of the grave. Constant in the trial and the change. This one thing remains. One thing remains. What is it? Your love never fails. It never gives up. Again, help me. Your love. We just sing our own deliverance, don't we? and on and on and on it goes. Yes, it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. Love this. And I never, ever have to be afraid. Because one thing, come on, I love that. One thing, even Curly on City Slicker said, one thing matters. I mean, one thing, love that, remains. Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. No height, no depth, no angel, no devil. No distance, no conflict, no roommate, no challenge, no curveball. We've got to have a few one things in our life that are immovable while we're in the turbulence and the whirlwind of change that's part of life. Love that. I never, ever have to be afraid because he's not budging. If he was fickle, and like us, then it's like, oh, dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord. Because he's not moved and he's stubborn in his ways and the constancy of his faithfulness to 1,000 generations. Love that. How do we realize how rare yet important it is for at least one thing to remain, to not change? Oh, thank God for it. So then, therefore, it doesn't matter what's going on here because there's one who is securely in authority. But that, rather whom, that remains is an absolute game changer and stabilizer to all the other changes in life and things that change through all the seasons of life, all the unknowns. We don't know what next week's going to look like. Those Texans had no idea what was coming on them this week. You don't know if that thing is going to turn north or turn south, if it's going to dissipate, disorganize. They're saying this is greater than Katrina already. I mean, it's just like we don't know the next week, but there's one who's a rock. We've got to have that. We've got to be established in that. Listen, hear this. If God doesn't change, then we can endure any change. If God doesn't change, we can certainly endure any change. God himself goes on the record in Malachi 3:6 saying, I, the Lord, what? Do not change. I'm so grateful. Thank God. Because a lot of time in our spirit, we're like that little boy going to his first day of first grade. It's so easy. But to remember, he doesn't change. I love the King James. I am the Lord God who changeth not. It is so emphatic. Explanation point. Who changeth not. Pow. Love it. If that is true, we can have a steady hand throughout life, in spite of life. If not, buckle down, buckle up. The storm and tornado cometh. If he will not be moved, I can look to, build on, and trust that. You know, when people try to modernize Jesus in the name of relevancy or water down the scriptures due to whatever pressure or pervading mindset, the record is clear in Hebrews. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. Some sameness is boring. Some sameness is good and comforting and security. It depends on what that sameness is, the context. Some sameness, like, dear Lord, can we change it up a little bit? Sure. There's some sameness that we celebrate. Thank God they've not moved off their position. I can't tell you how many people were strong, even theologically, in a certain area, and then all of a sudden, a couple years go by, they don't even believe the major tenets of the faith anymore. Some sameness is good. The Apostles' Creed, the major tenets of our faith, the historical creeds. We are a creedal people. It's there to remind us of the absolutes that are non-negotiable. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When I would argue against cessationism that says the gifts of the Spirit have ceased, this text was always one of many laying out his nature, character, and constancy. He didn't have just a few little startup show-and-tell moments during the, quote, apostolic age. God doesn't talk out of two sides of his mouth, does he, as it were? James 1:17 declares, he does not change like shifting shadows. I mean, you think a shadow is amazing, you go out and take a picture of it, great, take a picture quick, because in a few seconds it'll be gone. It's not like that is an amazing cloud, and it was just amazing last week when we looked at it too. No, it's there for a moment. It's gone. It blows away. That's life. Relationships, things that we thought were sure footing, they had the tendency to be temporal at times. He does not change like shifting shadows. It's not steadfast in the sky. There's no shadow of turning in him. So with all that swirls around here, being what it is, if he's steadfast, then there is a equalization where the pressure within is greater than the pressure without. What security we can build on that, can we not? If God never changes, then therefore his love never changes. His mercy for us never changes. His promises never change. His word never changes. He said, I'm the same. I've been here. I'll always be here. I'm right here. Even when Jesus was asleep in the boat, the miracle was right there among them. Right there. He's right here. If God never changes, he still wants us saved today, healed today, established and secure today, steadfast today. Change happens around us while all the while we are grounded. The same root, the same foundation, the same rock, the same sure promises, the same Ancient of Days. That's good news. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Now, that's no small hyperbole there. I mean, the earth, what we see around us, it looks quite immovable. It's quite a feat. But compared to the unchanging word of God, it's nothing. The heavens and the earth, like the second heavens, the heavens and the earth will pass away. In this present form, you see it, it's here today, gone tomorrow. We talk about you can't take things with you when you die. You never see a U-Haul hooked up to a hearse. Can't take it with you. This world and this present order won't be the same a millennial from now, a decade from now. But his word is unchanging. Wow, the earth, look at it. Well, great. But his word has more constancy. His promises are more sure than what we see. Everything is subject to change. His word is not. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So therefore we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary or subject to change. Can you say subject to change? Subject to, but what is unseen is eternal. Therefore, if that's the case, if what I see is temporary, in other words, it can shift, it can move, it can be removed, therefore, I can't build on that. Therefore, Paul said to the church of Corinth, then therefore, fix your eyes on him. He ain't budging. He ain't moving. He's here to stay. You ever had family felt like that? They came for about a week. It's like, dear Lord, I think they're here to stay. I think they're here to, Jesus, the Godhead, they are here to stay. His word and the staying power, he upholds all things by the power of his word. I mean, when we, this week with the eclipse and about how the sun is 400 times the size of the moon and then the distance between, no other planet gets the eclipse other than the earth. And the proximity of how they could perfectly align, he upholds all things by the power of his word. Even signs in the heavens and the stars and the moon. Luke 21. I mean, he's showing off all the time. There he goes. There's God with you. He's showing off. God's showing off again. He upholds all things by the power of his word. That puts strength in me. That puts muscle on the inside, does it not? Because everything around us is this. It's like we're in a blender. Or that little boy. But change is part of the equation. The same text, 2 Corinthians, in the Message translation reads, "So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace." These hard times are small potatoes compared. This is a translate. God bless you, Gene Peterson. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. There is resiliency. There is steadfastness. There is surety. Students, young professionals, couples, families, if we get dizzy with change, look into the things that never change to gain our equilibrium, because it's coming at you fast. Prophet Ferris Bueller told us years ago, life comes pretty fast, he told us. And it's only increasing in speed. It's not going to slow down. Conflict will never go away. Do you realize peace is not the absence of conflict? Peace is not the absence of war, as it were. But in the storm, there's one who remains the same. Thank God, through every transition, every change. The first is God, the Ancient of Days. Reflect on His nature. Just a couple things. God, with His unchanging nature. Secondly, God's love, which is unfailing. Thirdly, God's Word, which lasts forever. Simple but true. God, His love, His words. There are a few things that remain. So the first grader can take that. The freshman entering college can take that. Moving to the new neighborhood, moving to the new city can take that. Taking the new job can take that. The new roommate, the new thing that's coming down the pike. It's like, I don't know. It's unknown. I don't know what's on the other side of that. There are a handful of things that won't change. And God contends for that which is His. He fights for it. Is change inevitable? Sure. And even by His design, Daniel 2. But He doesn't change. And that's very helpful. And that's very securing. So we step through it by faith. I've never been married before. I stepped through that threshold, okay? I've never had children before. We stepped through that threshold. I've never been to college before. We stepped through that threshold. I've never taken this new position before. We stepped through that threshold. You know, I've got this new opportunity. We stepped through it. We don't know what's on this, but we know Him, His Word, His love. And He'll paint a picture to keep us on the inside still, regardless of what's going around. That's how John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, got born again on a ship, a turbulent ship. I mean, he went up and down the East Coast, Georgia, other places, preaching before he himself was strangely warmed. Was on a ship with some Moravians. He was freaking. They were like this. He's like, what's the deal with your composure and your deportment? They began to minister to him, and he realized, I'm not born again. They led John Wesley to the Lord, founder of Methodism, due to a steadfast peace in the middle of a storm. How did you come to the Lord? Well, had it not been for that storm, those peaceful, steadfast Moravians mesmerized me with their constancy. And even though I understand we curse the storm, or we curse the giant or the Goliath, but as we've said many times, if there hadn't been a Goliath, there'd be no David. Goliath was the making of David. So instead of seeing the thing before you as your wall, your barrier, could it not be your entrance into what God's called you to? The walls of Jericho, oh, barrier. No, they're walls, but they're not merely walls. They're the entrance into the God's provision of destiny for you. And even though it swirls here, God's never budged. Stand up, would you? Lord, we just thank You. for the constancy and the surety of peace, confidence, resilience, because your nature is unchanging, your love is unfailing, and your word will last forever. That can hold us. Now, Lord, one more time, we cry out for those that are just being thrown to and fro right now in Texas. We hold the ropes for them. Dear God, we ask you, have mercy on that state, on those cities, on those families, on just the whole economic catastrophe of it all. Grace, grace, God. Save our land. Heal our land. Grace to the first responders. Grace. Lord, we just pray right now, even coming up on Alpha, for our unsaved friends and connections, those who don't know you that are easily swept and pushed to and fro. We pray for them, that this same rock, the same Ancient of Days that's encountered us might also encounter them. Lord, we pray for that, that we could be of a different spirit, not mere men and women, not merely human, but superhuman because of the gift within. Give us opportunities this week to bring calm to any storm. In Jesus' name, amen.